The Old Testament reading for this day of Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a sound. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, God.
Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own tongue. They were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God. And we're all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Shall come to pass that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you. Cannot bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's more of an Old Testament theme, one that Jesus in the New Testament can seem to overturn completely. And low church traditions often make that overturning explicit. Talking about a distinction between the holy and the common. The Sabbath laws and the kosher laws were about the distinction between the holy and the common. The problem is that the Jews and we ourselves, when we engage in such things, usually project the keeping of those laws into the moral domain. By remaining kosher, we think we become holy. By breaking whatever our kosher laws are, even whatever those particular kosher laws are, whether they're about bacon cheeseburgers or what pronouns we apply, which is and always has been false. Kosher laws never make us morally upright. The Apostle Paul's image has always moved me that we are all jars of clay. We're all made from common dust. And to the extent that our Lord became man, he shared our dust. Yet, within these jars of clay, we hold a treasure. We become holy by who has decided to dwell in us. The Bible study that we've been doing on Ezekiel has helped me, hasn't helped anyone else, think through this a little bit. Because at the end of Ezekiel is a vision of this final end times eschatological temple in the new promised land. And even though sin, that moral domain, has been removed because in heaven you can't sin, in Ezekiel's vision there are still festival days and offerings and rules about them. The holy and the common was never about morals or sin. The holy and the common is about the absolute otherness of God. Things, people, places, times can be set apart as holy. This common dust can hold a treasure, but the glory
the others remains God's. There is only one God. And as Luther would say about the third article of the Creed, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus or come to Him. The holidays, the holy days, on the Christian calendar are days that are set apart to recall when God chose to dwell with us. And Pentecost is a day when the Spirit was breathed out into the body of Christ. Ezekiel's vision of the field of dry bones, more than dry, they were very dry. They've been dead and dismembered a long time. And the Lord asks Ezekiel the question. The question that everything that we think is dead is concerned about. The question that everything that cannot, by their own reason or strength, find a way. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And the natural answer is no way. We all know from unbroken experience that dead things stay dead. It only goes in one direction. These very dry bones will just become drier until they return to dust. That's not what Ezekiel answers. The answer of a too rosy faith would be a resounding yes. Of course, the Lord of creation can recreate these bones. That's not what Ezekiel answers. Ezekiel gives the answer of a chastened faith from exile. O Lord God, you can these bones live? If you desire them to, Lord. And the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy. Tell the bones to come together. And miraculously, they come together at the word. Bone to bone, and sinew and flesh layers on those dry bones. But there was still a problem. There was no breath in them. There's not much difference between the very dry bones and our natural flesh. Both are dead. Both are without the breath of God. Both are common things given to decay. And I can think of an ultimate horror storyline here. A world with a Christmas and an Easter, but not a Pentecost. A world where God dwelled with us, and in His dwelling He redeemed us, but He withheld His breath. The Spirit that calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies never came. The entire story of Jesus was just the ultimate proof of how common we were and how ultimately deserving of death. That isn't what God desires. He promised to pour out His Spirit. He promised Ezekiel that He would put His breath in us. And so the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy again. Prophesy to the breath. Tell the breath to come from the four winds and breathe on these bones. Paul, gather, enlighten and sanctify the entire Christian church on earth. So Ezekiel prophesied. And the breath came, and they stood in exceedingly great army. An army in John that nobody can count. Pentecost is the day that the Lord says, I am setting you apart because you will be whole. You will be sanctified. Pentecost is the day that the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, enters the church and testifies that you shall know that I am the Lord. And I will raise you from the grave, so my people. Pentecost is the day that the Lord put his Spirit within you, and you shall live. Pentecost, the day of those tongues of fire, where God's people, all of them, can prophesy like Ezekiel. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see visions, and your young men dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Breath is in you. You can tell the bones to live and breathe. You speak with those tongues of fire. So, it's proper on Pentecost to hold a confirmation. Your baptism is that day of personal Pentecost when the Holy Spirit abides and dwells with you. And confirmation is a confirmation of that baptism. For those of us who were baptized as children, our parents and sponsors answered the questions for us. They spoke to our bones and said, live. And we did. Today, you get the chance to speak with those tongues of fire in confessing and confirming the faith that was given to you. One of the rituals of the day is a bestowal of a confirmation. We've spent 2 years walking our way through the catechism, learning a lot of stuff that you probably don't remember already, which is okay, because the Spirit with those tongues of fire will bring it back when you need it. And this is something that Christians are constantly doing, prophesying for the breath to come back. Think of these verses as the final gift and blessing that I can give you in this season. Nathan, I chose Psalm 25:10 for you. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. You're the hot one. So I'm sure you know that the puck takes all kinds of different paths. You never really know where it's going because when it bounces off the boards, even in your own brain, you can take weird bounces. The best practice that even NHL players continue with is on the bases. Stick hand. Receiving that pass softly. Keeping your spacing. I would take a chance. The better you do those things, whatever way the puck is bouncing or saucering over the ice, the better your chance to keep the puck and to help your team. You're a smart kid, so it's probably not lost on you that sports, as of so many of the things that we think of as fun, practice in our youth, something of a training ground for life. It's not just the puck that takes odd bounces and weird angles and spins. Even in your own brain. Life and faith can take us in all kinds of strange paths. Your confirmation verse that I'm giving you should help you recall 3 things. First, all of those paths are the Lord's. There isn't a path or a bounce that you are going to take that God doesn't know. They are all paths of the Lord. And the final outcome of those paths is a no. hot ground. Second, while you are on all of those paths, the gospel is yours. Steadfast love and faithfulness are on all of those paths. Whether the path is like the prodigal to a far country in a pigsty, or whether that path is like the older brother who never leaves his father's house. Everything that the Father has is yours. And the basics of the kingdom, the skating and the sticking, are steadfast love, faithfulness. Even when we are not faithful, God is faithful to us. When we are unloved, God has steadfast love for us. Right. Thirdly, if the path that the Lord wishes us to walk is curved. Remember the first use of the law. The curb with his covenants, his testaments. The better paths will lead to a better life. They're guarded by word and sacrament, by his covenants, his testaments. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Those who keep his covenants, testaments. Today, faith is yours. You're being shot off the boards and taking your first vows. Remember the practice, the basics. Law and gospel. Word and sacraments. Steadfast love. Faith. Hours. I have a small sorry to say here, because your verse goes a little beyond you. You're the third, and I'm guessing the last Cosgrove that I will have in cognizant class. As the youngest, I imagine you are used to sharing by now. I chose for you Acts 20:32. And now, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Confirmation is often taken as the end of something. In a way, it is. It's the end of a faith as a purely childish thing. No longer is the practice of the faith something completely dependent upon your parents. They have baptized you and seen that you are catechized in the basis of the faith. You are going to confirm that they have handed that on to you. Your formal, by which I mean mandatory, course of study. So, as your pastor, I, of course, will be here, and your parents will always be there to answer any questions. Neither your parents nor your teacher are solely bound and responsible for your faith anymore. It's now something between you and your God. Your verse comes from a final word that Paul gave to the congregation at Ephesus, a place he had also spent 2 years worth of teaching. And now, I commend you to God. But Paul had to give him one little reminder, one last lesson. It's a good one. Not only did he commend them to God, to the word of his grace. Christ has died and has risen for you. At this table, you will receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, something that you're going to be admitted to today. Word and sacrament for you is to these things that I commend you. Diligent in their practice. And if you are diligent in receiving reception of the word and the means of grace, they are able to build you up and to give you the inheritance of all of those who are sent. Spirit that took residence in you at your baptism today testifies to this truth. As Luther's catechism, which you should now know, says, the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies the entire church on earth. And keeps with Jesus in true faith. And the inheritance of those caps, the inheritance of those sanctified, is what you learn as the benefits of baptism. Forgiveness of sins. Rescue from death. Eternal salvation. Now, I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you this inheritance. The way is marked out. There are many who are walking, who will walk it with you. But from here, that walk, faith is yours. And this goes for all of us. We hope that you will continue with those called and gathered, those set apart, those made whole. By the abiding Spirit that abides in you.